Hey, it's good to see everyone this morning. If you're following along, we'll be in 2 Kings, chapter 4, 8 through verse 32. One day a cat and a mouse died, and on the same day they went up to heaven. At the top they met God, and he asked him, "How do you like it so far?" The mouse replied, "It's great, but can I get a pair of roller skates?" God said, "Sure," and he gave him a pair of roller skates. So the little mouse goes skating off, you know, down the roads of heaven. The next day, God saw the cat and asked him, "How do you like it so far up here?" The cat replied, "Great. I didn't know you had meals on wheels." You know, for us, there's no downside to heaven like the little mouse. The problems of this world are gone and we are restored with God. Someone else who was restored a long time ago is told in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 32. So let's read our text before we get started this morning. It's 2 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 8. It talks about Elisha and the Shunammite woman. One day, Elisha went on to Shunam, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there and to eat food. And she said to her husband, "Behold now, I know that this is a holy man of God, who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." One day, he came there, and he turned into the chamber and rested there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite." When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, "Say now to her, 'See, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is to be done for you? Would you have a word spoken on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' And he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' Gehazi answered, 'Well, she has no son, and her husband is old.' He said, 'Call her.' And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway, and he said, 'At this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace the son.' And she said, 'No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant.' But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that time, the following spring, as Elijah had said to her." When the child had grown, he went out one day to his father among the reapers. And he said to his father, "O my head, my head." The father said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had lifted him and brought him to his mother, the child sat on her lap till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on a bed of the man of God, and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys, that I may quickly go to the man of God and come back again." And he said, "Why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." She said, "All is well." Then she saddled a donkey, and she said to her servant, "Urge the animal on. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Look, there is a Shunammite. Run at once to meet her and say to her, 'Is all well with you? Is all well with your husband? Is all well with the child?' And she answered, 'All is well.' And when she came to the mountain of the man of God, and she caught hold of his feet. And Gehazi came to push her away, but the man of God said, 'Leave her alone, for she is in bitter distress. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me.' Then she said, 'Did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?' He said to Gehazi, 'Tie up your garment and take my staff in your hand and go. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not reply. And lay my staff on the face of the child.' Then the mother of the child said, 'And the Lord lives, and you yourself live. I will not leave you.' So he arose and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was no sound or sound of life. Therefore he returned to meet him and told him, 'The child has not awakened.' When Elisha came to the house, he saw the child lying dead on the bed. So he went in, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he went up and lay on the child, putting his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And as he stretched himself upon him, the flesh of the child became warm. Then he got up again and walked once back and forth in the house, and went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed several times, and the child opened his eyes. Then he summoned Giza and said, "Call the Shumanite." So he called her, and when she came to him, she said, "Pick up your son." She came and fell at his feet, bowing to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. So, you know, a great story of someone who helped one of God's prophets and how he returned that help. So, Elisha and the woman was out there. And so the Shumanite woman remains one of the few people recorded in the Bible that was restored not once but twice in the blessings that she had lost. Her restoration was the result of a deep and abiding faith in God. The Shumanite woman was a wealthy woman who lived in Shuman, one of the towns where Prophet Elijah, he passed from time to time. Now she noted that he needed a place to stay at those times. So she sought her husband's permission and they built him a room in the house so that he would be more comfortable any time he passed through their place. So she received more than even she thought she could have. She was not expecting to gain anything by her act of kindness to God, but God rewarded her beyond her wildest dreams. He proved that he was God in Ephesians 3 verse 20. The God who is able to immeasurably do more than we ask or imagine according to the power of his work within us. Now, she was old, as we read, and her husband was old, and they had no son. And that was real important to their culture. It's, you know, not quite as important to people now, but back then that was an heir, someone to carry on the line. So that was supremely important. And she didn't ask for it, but Elijah, you know, through God, made it possible that she could have this. And to me, whenever I read her story, I think of course, like Job, where the devil accused him of only worshiping God because he followed God. You know, God gave him great things. And, you know, in that same way, we don't ask God for anything but our daily bread and the things we need in life. But he still gives us immeasurably more than we could ever imagine. Now, he gave her a son. And when he fell sick and died, he brought him back to life through God. So even though Elisha asks us, you know, if he could speak to the king on her behalf or to other officials, you know, she declined. Since she lived amongst her own people and she was wealthy, she didn't need any real favors from anyone. However, even though she had great riches, her, you know, of course she was without child. In those days, once a woman became a widow, the only person who can protect her rights is her son. Here was a woman whose husband was old, and she was about to become voiceless in the society that lived back then. Now, today's society is much different, but that's, you know, kind of the primitive society that they lived in at that time. Once her husband died, there would be no one else to redress any wrong that was done to her. However, her act of kindness to the man of God was rewarded, and she received the blessings that Jesus Christ stated in the book of Matthew, chapter 10 and verse 11. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. You see, as we were talking about in class this morning, some people desire to be missionaries and take up that risk, whatever it may be, to stretch out and go out there where they've never been, to a strange land. Some places, you know, have exotic diseases that we don't get here, and it can be fraught with danger. But they can't do it alone. Through the efforts of others who have a desire and have the means to help those, help them in order to be able to do what they need to do. So when Jesus was talking about doing something good you know, when you receive a prophet, because nowadays we give them money and they set up shop and they set up a house, and if they travel, they stay at the Holiday Inn or wherever, and you know, it's quite different. But to receive somebody in where they didn't have to pay for an inn or pay for food, that was a great deal, and that helped them along their way. Paul used that many times as he went. He was a tent maker. He made the money that he needed most of the time, but he did receive help along the way. So in that way, she was helping one of God's missionaries. When Elisha told the Shunammite woman that she would conceive a child, she told him not to deceive her. She didn't believe, kind of like Adam and his wife, she didn't believe that they would have a child. They hadn't so far, and she didn't believe that. She didn't want him to raise her hopes, only to have them dashed. Another woman who disbelieved the promise of God of a child again was Sarah, the wife of Abraham, Genesis 18, first 15 verses. However, as God said to Sarah in verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Is anything too hard for our God? There's nothing there. If we have a purpose still here on this earth, we're going to make that purpose. If He calls us whom? He calls us whom? Even if He calls us whom, nothing is too hard for the Lord. He's made a place in heaven for us where the pains of old, the disappointments of old, the trials of old, everything is gone and made new. So, as God said to Sarah, is anything too hard for Him? The Shunammite woman did conceive, and she did have that son that Elisha promised. How great must her joy have been that now she has a son, an heir for her husband. However, the devil was waiting to steal her joy. But in the face of great adversity and discouragement, she showed great faith and confidence in God. Instead of weeping and howling over this loss, she kept the child on the bed of the man of God. She was confident that God who gave her the child would restore him to life. Since Elijah gave her the promise that the child would be conceived, it was to him that she ran when the child died. She asked her husband to give her a young man and a donkey so that she could run to the man of God. And when her husband asked why she wanted to see the man of God, there was no new moon sacrifice, no Sabbath. She told him, "It shall be well." This demonstrates her great faith. No matter what happens, God is still in control. Now, Daniel's friends who went into the fire, they said, if we're not going to be burned up, that's God's will. But if we're burned up in the fire, it's still God's will. And that's what a Christian does. We trust until the end that God knows what's going on. And that even if our life is taken from us, it's only taken from this earth. And it goes to God, where an immortal life is given, where we live forever with God. There is no end to life here, to our lives. We just change addresses. We're already in the kingdom. We're just in the kingdom on this earth. But someday, we'll be in the kingdom of heaven itself. And there all will be made new. So, she had confidence. And she knew that God was still in control. Even when Gehazi saw her and asked her about her husband and child, she told him it as well. This further established her total faith and confidence in God that what had taken place from her, what had been taken from her, was going to be restored. She trusted until the end. And as Christians, we have to trust in the end that no matter how hard life may be, that God is going to get us through it. There's no mind reader out there. There's no soothsayer, no psychic, or anyone like that that can tell us what the future is. But we know what the future is. No one has to tell us that because God will take care of us, and that we can bank on and take care of. He will get us through this life. He'll help us to live our life faithfully to Him. And then He'll welcome us back home into heaven when that time comes. So she had confidence that everything was going to be well. And when she saw Elisha face to face, her emotions became too much for her. However, Elisha thought that by sending his staff with Gehazi, that this would bring the child back to life and the woman, you know, would leave him alone. However, the Shunammite woman refused to leave Elisha until he followed her. She didn't have faith in his staff, but she had faith in him because he was a prophet of God. Now, when he got to the woman's house, the child was still dead. He was not able to bring him back to life with the stick. However, Elisha did what he must have seen his master Elisha do when Elisha was faced with a similar situation in 1 Kings verses 21 through 22. Elisha lay upon the child, put his mouth and face and hands on the child, and stretched himself on the child. However, that was not enough to bring the child back to life. He had to pray and again stretch himself on the child before the child was brought back to life. And this is very similar when the disciples went out and couldn't get a demon out of a man, and Jesus said, that's the kind of demon you got to pray for. You know, we don't have confidence or shouldn't have confidence in our own abilities. That abilities come from God. Elisha and Elijah, they both had their powers through God. So when he couldn't raise them on his own, he prayed to God. And that should always be the source of our strength and our inspiration in life. And we can have a lot of wealth and we can have a lot of money. And this woman was wealthy. But no amount of her wealth was going to bring back her son. No amount of her wealth was going to help her conceive back in that time. Now we have all kind of science and medicine now that can aid sometimes in those situations. But that wasn't possible then. That took a miracle of God. And raising that child up took a miracle from God. So he prayed, laid down on the boy again, and the woman saw her son brought back to life. And she bowed down on the ground and worshipped the Lord. Her confidence and faith in God was richly rewarded. Apart from the blessing of having a son brought back to life, the Shunammite woman went on to experience so many other blessings from God just by her singular act of kindness to a man of God. In 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 through 6, Elisha warned the Shunammite woman that a famine would come upon the lands for 7 years. He advised her to leave the country because of the impending disaster. The Bible did not record that her husband was present with her at that time. It may be that he was already dead. We don't know. However, because of the prior information that she had concerning the coming disaster, she traveled to the lands of the Philistine to live for 7 years until the famine was over. On her return to Shunem, she went back to cry for the king for the restoration of her house and her land. All these must have been taken from her when she was in the land of the Philistines. It must have been treated as abandoned property and taken over by others, or it may have reverted back to the king himself. One thing we know for sure, though, her husband was dead because he was not mentioned again, and her son was too young to ask the king for the estate. However, to show the demonstration and power of God at work again in the life of this woman, the very time she approached the king was the same time that Gehazi was recounting the story of how the Shunammite woman's son was restored back to life. This is not just mere coincidence, but the power of God at work, that just when Elisha's servant was recounting the raising of the boy, the mother of the boy shows up. The king asked her if the story recounted by Gehazi was true, and she confirmed the story. He then asked one of his officials to give back everything that belonged to her, including all the income from her land from the day she left the country until now. Now, what a great story. What a great restoration. And to answer the words of God that he uttered to Sarah, nothing is too difficult for God to do. Her life also confirms the promise of God in Joel chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, which says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. My great army which I send among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." Now we're restored by Jesus and his sacrifice for our sins, and we're restored to full heirship with Jesus. Everything that we have here on this earth pales in comparison to that. So in the end, in the next life, we'll have great many more things than we ever had here in this life. Most of all, eternal life with God our Creator and His Son Jesus. I don't know what your condition is this morning, but if you have need of the church, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?